Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath and equal with God. That's the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go in John chapter 5 as we continue this verse-by-verse study. Let's go to verse 1. It says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So a unique passage of scripture we have here. So here's this pool of water, and at certain seasons, there'd be a moving of the water. The scriptures say that an angel went down and obviously stirred the water, and whoever hopped into the water first was healed of the whatever disease they had. So all sorts of people, it says a great multitude of folks were there, only one person, you know. It's a little puzzling to understand this, but this is what the scriptures declare. You know, you had blind people, you know, lame people, and they're just waiting for the moving of the water. You know, it makes you think of those Black Friday sales, you know, when, you know, first come, first serve, you know, then you have this barrage of people all trying to get in the door at the same time. So I don't know what it was like, but it's there in the scriptures. And next thing you know, we will find the chief healer, the healer in chief, Jesus Christ, coming on the scene. He knew what was going on here without question. So let's pick it up in verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So what a sad condition this man was in for 38 years. Can you imagine that? Almost four decades, and this man, you know, he's missing out. You know, he can't get into the pool, and somebody else owes him, beats him there. You know, that's what he's saying. So let's pick it up in verse 8 here. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So what an incredible event took place here, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine being lame for 38 years, almost four decades, and now this man comes along and says, you know, would you like to be whole? Would you like to be made whole? Would you like to be healed? And the man explains to him, you know, I can't get into the water quick enough. And Jesus simply said, Rise, go ahead, take up your bed and walk. So here we see a great display of the power that Jesus had. The power to speak a word, and the healing took place immediately. That's exactly what happened there. And if you know, the scripture points out that this took place on the Sabbath. And this is very important. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, and Jesus knew exactly what the reaction would be from the religious Jewish hierarchy. So verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. So almost immediately, this guy gets healed, and he's walking along. Can you imagine the joy that this man must have had? And now, before you know it, here are the religious Jews on the scene. And they go and they say, what are you doing? You know, you can't do that. It's not lawful for you to carry a bed. Don't you know this is the Sabbath? This is the Sabbath day. You can't be doing that. You know, it reminds me of a time, you know, when Kathy, my wife, her mom was sick, and this was shortly before she died, and she was in a hospital in Flushing, Queens. We were living in Pennsylvania, actually, at the time, so we would ride in and visit her, and she was one of the upper floors. I forget what floor it was, but it was up there, and, you know, we got on an elevator, and, you know, we pressed the button for the floor, whatever floor that was, and the elevator stopped at the next floor, like the second floor, and it stopped at the third floor, and it stopped at the fourth floor, and so on. It stopped at every floor, but we were the only people on the elevator, and when it stopped, nobody got on the elevator, and we're like, huh? What on earth is this? And we found out that this was a Shabbat elevator. In other words, this elevator, because it was Saturday, this was a Saturday that we were visiting Kathy's mom. And because, you know, a lot of Jewish people be visiting that hospital, they believe that it is something you should not be doing, something with electricity or something like that. It creates a spark when you press the button. It's like a religious Jewish law. If you know, especially with the Orthodox type of people, I believe. So they have this elevator so that people such as the Jewish people that are religious, they can get on the elevator without having to physically touch a button. That's exactly what these elevators are for. So in other words, these elevators, they have a switch, like you put in a key, and it'll say on or off for the Shabbat, for the Sabbath. So if it's a Saturday, they make sure that at least one of those elevators will be working in that manner. So it automatically stops at every floor. So if you're up on a, say, seventh floor, you're going to stop at the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, before you get to the seventh, even though you could be the only people on the elevator with nobody pressing a button. So you know what that is, folks? That's bondage. It's religious bondage. So this is what takes place when you add these little laws to the Word of God. In fact, you know, over in Israel, the Israeli Knesset, that's the supreme governing body. They're the ones who basically run the show. They pass the laws. They're in charge. They passed a law in 2001, I believe it was, that every residential building with more than one elevator must have a Shabbat elevator. In other words, just what I described to you. So this is something, ladies and gentlemen, that is going on to this day. So this is Sabbath, you know. And as I said, this is religious bondage. It reminds me even of the Roman Catholic Church with their man-made traditions and all the rituals. You know, I was an altar boy, the chalices and the Catholic hosts and the things you'd put a little cloth over your thing, and then the priest would wipe the chalice of any crumbs and so on and so forth, candles and so on and so forth. It's added to the words of Word of God. These are things you find in their teaching. These are things you find in a catechism. They're additions to the Word of God. But it's not the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. It's bondage. I was in bondage. So you have the Roman Catholic Church, you know, basically, it's our way or the highway. You know? And I'm glad I took the highway. I was on the highway to hell, and now I'm on the highway to heaven because I read the truth. I heard the truth. I read the scriptures and saw that I could be saved. So all that is bondage, folks. It's religious bondage. When you see stuff like this, get away from it. Run from it, folks. It's not the Lord. Let's get back to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 11. He answered them. Here's the man. He's answering the religious Jews who told him, you shouldn't be doing this on a Sabbath. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not or knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So, you know, at that point, the man was healed, but he, you know, there was just such a crowd there. He didn't realize, you know, who exactly the man was. He didn't realize it was Jesus. So, verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. So this is interesting. You know, Jesus found this same guy in the temple now. Now, keep in mind that Jesus told this man to walk. I mean, you're lame for 38 years, and now this dramatic thing takes place. Pick up your bed, take your bed, and walk. Now, Jesus found him in a temple. Trust me, Jesus knew that he was in a temple, and he knew why he was there, because the religionists confronted him and said, you shouldn't be walking, you shouldn't be carrying his bed. So now this man's in a temple, okay? So, you know, basically what took place here, Jesus obviously identified himself and said, look, you're made whole. You know, take up your bed and walk. So the next thing you know, the man is not in the temple anymore. It says the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. This is rich stuff, folks. So here's the guy walking again, and now he comes up and says, oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, I know who the guy is who healed me. His name is Jesus, okay? So very interesting. So I'm going to give you a couple of cross-references here, ladies and gentlemen, just to show you how the Jewish people, what they believe about the Sabbath day. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and it was a man which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So this is incredible stuff that we see. So it's the Sabbath day once again. And now the religious Jews, they're watching Jesus to see if he's going to heal this man. They're ready to pounce on him. It's unbelievable. And so the Lord starts asking him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life? Like, is it okay to do something good? But they didn't say anything. They remained silent, okay? So he heals the man, and look what happens after that takes place. It says, the Pharisees went forth and straightway or immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. They wanted to kill him. So here, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me now, folks. This unbelief in Jesus Christ, this rejection of Jesus Christ by the majority of Jewish people, especially the religious Jewish people, is still going on to this very day as I speak to you. So they do not believe that he is the Son of God. They do not believe that he is the Messiah. They do not believe he is Lord. And they certainly don't like it when he does anything on a Sabbath day. And that's what took place there. So what was their choice? They wanted to kill him. Don't miss that. It's unbelievable when you think about it. Another cross-reference in Mark, if you look in chapter 2, you'll find the Pharisees criticizing the disciples because they were going through a cornfield and they were obviously rubbing the corn on the cob, rubbing it, and so that they could eat the corn. They were hungry, and this was the Sabbath day. So basically, the Lord explained to them, you know, about how David ate of the bread that only the priest should have eaten. And the reason he did that is because they were hungry. And then he said to them, Mark 2, 27 and 28, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ is greater than the Sabbath. He's Lord over the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't... it's not man for the Sabbath, these rules and regulations. God wanted a rest for his people, but at the same time, God is greater than the Sabbath. He wants people to be healed, okay? He knew they were hungry, so they're going through the field, walking with the Lord, and they're hungry. They're rubbing the corn things together. So I hope you're getting the point here, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get back to John now, chapter 5, verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So we're getting back to that man who was lame for 38 years. So now they're persecuting Jesus. And once again, they sought to, what does it say? Slay him. One more time, they sought to slay him. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he healed a man on the Sabbath day, okay? And it's a good thing. The man was lame for 38 years, so now we're going to kill you. What? Do you see, folks? You don't hear much of this, by the way, from the pulpits. This is just, these are scriptures that are put under the bed. They're put in the back room somewhere. And these are scriptures you need to hear. These are things you need to know. We're dealing with some heavy-duty stuff. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, or up until now, and I work. So Jesus is talking about his Father and basically saying, you know, look, my Father's outside the Sabbath. He works 24/7. He does good all year, 24/7, ladies and gentlemen. So he says, he's working, I'm working. So this is what he's telling them. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Look at that. To kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, we're getting to the nitty-gritty. This is where the rubber meets the road. They wanted to kill him. Okay, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath. And now look at this. They wanted to kill him all the more because he said that God was his Father, and thus making himself equal with God. So this is something you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen. The majority of Jewish people today, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a fact, okay? So you can't be one of God's chosen and reject Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. Folks, if you're rejecting Christ, if you're rejecting the Son of God, then you don't know the Lord. You don't know Christ. You don't know the Lord. You're not saved. And look at this. They wanted to kill him because they say he broke the Sabbath and thus making himself equal with God. He is the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen. This is something you need to understand. Look at Philippians cross-reference chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, some heavy-duty stuff there. Being in the form of God, or by nature God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, it wasn't robbery because he was equal with God. Okay? So this is something that the Jewish people would not receive. Okay? They said, no way. No way. So these are some good scriptures to keep in mind. Back to John, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth, the Father do? For what things soever he doeth, there also doeth the Son. These also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So once again, perfect synchronization between the Father and the Son. Okay, this is the love of God. The Father sends the Son, and the Son's in tune with the Father, doing these miracles. He has the power to do these things, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth, or makes alive, whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. So it's a package deal, ladies and gentlemen. You can't say you believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. I've had people, Jewish people, say this, but I don't believe in the Son. I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you can't. You can have one with the other, without the other. Okay? All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. So if you don't honor the Son, we're talking about having faith in the Son, you're talking about believing in Jesus Christ, then you're not honoring the Father. So it doesn't work that way. So it says, as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, makes them alive, even so the Son makes alive, quickeneth whom he will. And you'll find, if I'll give you the references, you can look them up for yourself in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus raised that young damsel to life. That's Mark 5. Look at verses 40 to 41. That's when he said to the young lady, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Hallelujah. Think about this. The power that Jesus had to raise the dead. You remember in John chapter 11 with Lazarus, the man was dead. And one of his sisters said, you know, Lord, he's dead. His body stinks now, dead for 4 days. But if you look at John 11, verse 43, it says, when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And then Lazarus, ladies and gentlemen, rose from the dead. Look at that, the power that Jesus Christ had. And also, you look in Luke chapter 7, especially verses 13 to 15, where Jesus, there was a funeral procession going on, and Jesus went up to the funeral bier and touched it and said to the man that was dead, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. So this is just three instances of the Lord raising the dead. He had that power, okay? So equal with the Father, he had that power to give life to the dead people. So this is good, you know, for you to understand. Let's go to John 5:24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When the gospel goes forth, ladies and gentlemen, when it's preached, when a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe his words, okay? There's something supernatural that takes place. It's called the new birth. You're born again of the Spirit. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is going to do something inside your heart. You have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. Isn't that something? So that's something you need to know, ladies and gentlemen. You've gone from death to life. So, you know, before I was saved, you know, I was like the walking dead. I was dead in my sins, okay? But then when you receive Christ, you have life. You have spiritual life. I was transferred from the ways of the world, the kingdom of the world, into the kingdom of God. A transfer took place by the Spirit of the living God. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. So, you know, when Christ died on the cross, ladies and gentlemen, buried and rose again. So, you know, we basically are risen with him, okay? He's the risen Christ. We have a connection in heaven, okay? It says, put your affections above, not on this earth, okay? Not on the things on the earth. And then it goes on to say, it says, for you are dead, for ye are dead. We're dead. We're dead to this world, but we're alive in Christ, okay? We're dead. We died with him, but we rose with him. We have newness of life. We have spiritual life. Oh, yes, we do. So this takes place when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the giver of life. And that's why he said in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Do you have that life, ladies and gentlemen? Have you ever been saved? Have you passed from death to life? Was there ever a time in your life when you realized I'm a new creation? Was there ever a time in your life where you realized Christ is the way? Will you realize, you know, when you're born again, folks, you realize you're a stranger down here. You're like an alien. You know, you realize people to the left and right of you, and trust me, the majority of people have no idea what you're talking about. That is a fact. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the way and straight and few there be that find it. Broad is the road to destruction and many there be that go in thereat. So we're talking heaven and hell. So, very few people are interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are very few interested are in salvation. They're more concerned with the things of the world. And that's the way it's always been. So this message, perhaps if you don't know the Lord, this message is for you. It's not too late for you to get saved. And, you know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let me leave it right there. Until next time, you have a blessed day.